Thank you. If you would, grab your Bibles, open with me to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, we'll be in chapter 5 today. Over the last couple of weeks, we've really started looking at our mission as a church. What is the mission of First Baptist Skytook, and how do we live that out? And so one of the things that our mission statement does is it kind of fleshes out how we're to live this out. And so what we've done is we've started looking at that. And so just to remind you of it is we exist to connect people to Jesus and his truth, his family, and his mission, and with small groups being our primary strategy. And so we'll unpack some of those in the days ahead, but as we've done the last couple of weeks, we will kind of finish up as we're talking about the truth and why it's important that we connect people to his truth. And so over the last couple of weeks, I don't know about you, but I've greatly enjoyed looking at just historically, how are we able to hold this word of God in our own language? And so hopefully you were greatly encouraged, but also the responsibility that we have of people who have died just so that we can have this in our own language. People who have went to the stake and to be burned, and also that we can hold this and have this. And then we even talked about how yet sometimes we neglect it or take it for granted and or leave it sitting. And then last week we looked at how reliable and sought to answer the question, is it reliable? We looked at how it is translated, or even how there were copies and manuscripts being made, and for us to be, how accurate are those? Have they been changed? And so hopefully last week as we began to unpack that, that you were brought to understand the reliability of God's word and how we're able to hold it and have it. And so today as we look at this truth, truth is one of those things that's either true or it's not, right? There's a reality. That is what truth is. Truth is reality. And so as we talk about connecting people to Jesus and his truth, there is a truth about Jesus. Either he came and died and rose from the dead or he didn't. And actually, the writer of the Bible, Paul, even says that if he didn't rise from the dead, then our faith, us being here, is futile, meaning it's meaningless. So everything kind of hinges upon the reality of Jesus and having been raised from the dead. So you can see the weight of the topic that we have here. And so as a church, our mission is to connect people to this Jesus. And the way that we do that is in his truth. Because it's true. And because in knowing truth, eyes are opened and God transforms. And I, as we dive in, we'll begin to see that a little bit more. One of the words that we will use and have used, you've heard me say it a lot as we talk about living in his truth and knowing Jesus, is the word abide. Abide is a word we get from Jesus as he talks about the vine and the branches and how we are called to abide in him, meaning that Jesus lives in us, and so therefore we're to walk with him. And so it's to live in fellowship with Jesus every moment of every day. This is the calling upon our lives. It is that Jesus would live in us and through us in such a way that ultimately the life of Jesus would be lived out in what we say and what we do, how we respond, the boldness and courage that comes in the life that we live. And so when we look at Jesus' life, we see that Jesus was all about relationships, and those relationships we see with Jesus and the Father, Jesus and his disciples, and then ultimately Jesus and the rest of the world or those far from God. And so our lives should look the same. We should have a priority in our relationship between us and God. We should be able to walk with him, spend time with him. We have his word. We get to know what he says and challenges us and the commandments that he gives us. And so we should spend time in his word. Jesus definitely did this. So many examples. We don't have time to look through them. I tried to get through them in the first service and realized I ran out of time. But just to let you know, in Matthew 14, he sent the crowds away, but he went with him at dark in the evening. Or he woke up early in the morning while it was still dark in Mark chapter 1. Or even in Luke 6, it talks about how he spent the whole night praying. You see, Jesus, even when there was large crowds, made it a priority to spend time with the Lord. And we should as well. So many times we're like, well, look, there's crowds together. We need to be, you know, Jesus should have been on point. What's he doing getting away from them? You see, Jesus knew and modeled that everything is an overflow of our time spent with God. And so that should be the same for us as well. Even as we look at the Great Commission, we see that where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, he tells us that he is with us unto the end of the age. You see, as we look at this Great Commission, I just want to remind us that this Great Commission is for every single one of us as followers of Christ. If you have surrendered your life to the Lord, then the Great Commission is for you. It is to go and make disciples. Go and make learners or followers of Jesus. Go and proclaim the truth, which is what we're talking about today. And so then what is that truth, right? What is the truth that we are to proclaim? The truth, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So this truth is about Jesus. It is his truth. And then, but when I think about my own life and my own story, I think about even it being not really all that much my story, but his story. What I mean by that is I think about my life not really being raised in church, but yet curious, right? I wanted to know if there was a God and if he was real. And so in going through life, it was pretty easy. I mean, I ran after everything that this world had to offer, thinking that these things would bring joy, or, you know, if I just got more, then I would be accepted, or maybe my parents would be proud of me. But it wasn't until I was 16 that the Lord revealed himself to me. And how it came was in a friend, as he invited me to a Bible study, and then ultimately they shared about this truth about Jesus. Now, again, I was curious of the things of God, but he had done these things in my life that brought me to that place. I had seen contrasting lifestyles, and they brought questions. And I don't know about you or where you're at. Maybe you're raised in church. But somewhere along the line, God spoke to your heart in such a way that you saw a need for him in your life. And so this happened to me at 16. And what I'm saying is that when I look back and I see, it's exciting for me to say, you know, I really had no part in his life and in changing my life, because even in the transformation, it came through him. As he would open my eyes to different things of Scripture, or how he even brought people alongside of me that encouraged or challenged or discipled. I say all of that to say, when we are connecting people to truth, we're really just to go and to brag upon Jesus and what he's done in our life. For instance, you know, I have Facebook. I don't get on it very much. I definitely don't post very much. But, you know, as I scroll through Facebook, I mean, you guys brag on all sorts of things, don't you? And we kind of do backdoor bragging, right? I mean, we like post pictures of ourselves doing really cool things, like, ah, look what I'm doing, right? I was messing with a family this morning because they posted a selfie of being at the OU game. And I was like, you know, see, that's kind of backdoor bragging. Look, we're at the OU game, you know. But we do it all the time, right? We'll post pictures of our food. Look what I'm eating right now. Don't you wish you were eating that? You know, I mean, that's kind of how we do. We brag about things that we experience and share. And so what I'm saying is that why then is it when it comes to the things of God that should be the most life-changing thing that's ever happened to us, that we become timid or fearful? And what I'm saying is that, you see, if we understand the calling that God has upon our lives, it will help us even in the proclamation of what God has done. So that brings us to where we're at today. If you don't mind standing in honor of the Word of God, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we will start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God were reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God, speak to us through the power of your word today. Help us to leave here understanding this clear calling and mission that you have for us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So as you see, I've alluded to this verse many times, pointed to there. I don't know that we've specifically walked through it before, and so I wanted to today to remind us of this, that when we are connecting people to Jesus and his truth, that it's all about him. It's truth about Jesus and what he came to do and what he can offer to someone else. And so it's vital that we understand and dive in. And so when we share about Jesus, there are a couple of things we need to understand. First off, as you dive into these verses, we see that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, meaning he's brand new. He's been transformed. He or she has been transformed. It's a new creation. This is the beauty of it. The old is gone. So, you know, things pop into my mind all the time, things that I have done in the past, some horrible things, and the enemy brings them to my mind. And I even agree with him. Yes, I did that, but that was the old Chad. Isn't it awesome when I can say that was the old Chad? Now it's the new Chad, and I've been renewed in Christ. But even if it was something yesterday and I've confessed it and repented of it, I can do the same thing. I can say, well, that was yesterday. Right now, there is now no condemnation. I've given that to the Lord. These are the promises of the Lord. This is in no way giving us license to sin just so that grace can abound. We're actually commanded against that. So we understand that we're called to be holy, but when we fail, there are great promises that he forgives us, sets us apart, and we are forgiven and made new. And so verse 18 says, all this is from God. This is from God. This is the beauty of the gospel, and it's good news, is because this is what God has done on our behalf, is that he loved you, or he loved me so much that he has done something about it. He didn't leave us in our sin, and so what did he do? It says that through Christ, he reconciled us to himself. So, reconciled. Let's unpack this a little bit. To reconcile is to restore to friendship or harmony. It means to settle or resolve. It means to cause to submit to or accept something unpleasant. So here I was, unpleasant to the Lord, being a sinner, having sinned against him, having done horrible things against my God, and yet he restored me. He made me new. He brought me back into harmony or into this right relationship with him. He reconciled us. Now think about you. Where you were, look at what God has done in your life. He's taken you and all of the filth and the sin and the things that you have done, and he has brought you through Jesus back to this right relationship with him. But I love this part. Don't miss it. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So you have a ministry. I have a ministry. We have a ministry together, and this is the clear ministry. Are you ready? It's to help others to be reconciled. And so this is the truth. When we say we're going to connect people to Jesus, his truth, here's the truth. People need to be reconciled to God. Or more than that, the good news is that they can be reconciled to God. Isn't that awesome? It says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And thank God for that. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So you have been entrusted with this message. And so it's vital that you know the message. And that's where we're going to get to here in just a minute. It's vital that you know the message. If this is the message you've been entrusted with, you need to know it. Now, in verse 20, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So this word ambassador means an official representative or messenger. It is literally, I thought I changed that. But anyway, it says unofficial there, but it's actually official. It's the official messenger. It is on behalf of, and then it goes on to say, God making his appeal through us. And so this appeal is this earnest plea. So here's the picture. Are you ready? Is that God is making an earnest plea through his representatives, which are you and me. So God has decided, He could have written it upon the clouds and the sky and everyone who saw it, but he has chosen, because he's God, he has chosen that he would instead make his plea to the world through his ambassadors, those who have given their lives to Jesus, have recipients of the Holy Spirit, who would be have a ministry of reconciliation. He's entrusted us with this message. Isn't that awesome? Now think about the responsibility. Think about the also the not just responsibility, but this, man, this high honor it is that God would entrust me. Why me? Why you? And with that, we come with all sorts of excuses of why it shouldn't be me, right? I think about, sometimes I hear it all the time, well, I don't know enough. I want you to think back, or you can flip there if you want. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Peter and John are brought before the leaders, and I want you to listen to their response to them. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished." Now, this uneducated common men is almost considerate, and if you go back to the original language, like illiterate ignoramuses, right? I mean, that's like what those words mean. And so they're unschooled common men. In other words, they have not been trained in the Old Testament. They didn't go to the proper schools, and yet they recognized something about them that was different. They had been with Jesus. Now listen, I don't know what kind of training you're waiting on to have or when you think it will be enough, but if you have been changed by God, you already know enough. I mean, to think about if you can share his story and what he's done, that you were lost, but now you are found. You were blind, but now you see. You were once a sinner, but somewhere along the line, God spoke to your heart, and now you see that he and your need for Jesus, you know enough. Now listen, you can sit here and go, "But what if they ask me a question I don't know?" Or what if they start going off or begin to do this, or it becomes an argument? Listen, all those what ifs can happen, but you know enough to proclaim about Jesus. Brag upon what he has done. The first church, as we talked about the history of the Bible, one of the things that stood out to me as I just was brought to my attention again is there was no Bible for them to hold in their hand until like 1,000 years after Jesus had already risen from the dead. And so when you think about that, this first church and the spread of the gospel and all these churches that were planted were just men and women who were bold enough to proclaim Jesus and proclaim what he had done in their life. And I love how Acts puts it, "And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved." That's what I pray for. I pray that we will become a people who realize that we have a ministry from God. And this ministry is a ministry with a message that he has entrusted to us. And we realize that he is making his appeal on, that we are making his appeal on his behalf, and that we are called to go, and that we are just proclaimers. And in proclaiming, we do so with gentleness, with respect. Another one is, "I'm too weak." But I love how Paul puts it later in this same book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Proclaim his story. Proclaim what he's done in your life. Proclaim the power that is found in the truth about Jesus. Peter, in his letter, puts it this way, but he says, "In your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anybody who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Or as 2 Timothy put it, last week when we were looking at it, is to be ready only two times in life, in season and out of season, right? We're always to be prepared and ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. But we're to do it with gentleness and respect. And I think that sometimes that's what scares us. We're afraid of getting in an argument. And I want you to know, I don't argue with people. I sit down, and my prayer is not always that they walk away having heard something that's revolutionary or that, but my prayer at the beginning is that they walk away at the very least knowing that I love them, that I'm genuine, and that they matter. That's my hope and my prayer. And that as I share the gospel, that is the power of Christ unto salvation. It's not me, but it's the gospel. It's the truth. It's the good news. And so I let God handle the results. I let God handle where it lands and how it lands. If I can do it with gentleness and respect, then I believe and pray that then the word of God, which is powerful, will then do its work. And so how do we do it? We don't have much time, but if I just give you a couple of things. The first one is that you've heard me, if you've come here on very many Sunday mornings, you've heard me share it this way, maybe not spelled out, but you've heard me just in sharing the gospel, whether it's at the end of service or throughout the message, but I love the one hope. There is one hope. In sharing about one hope, I always or try to start with there being a good God. He is so good. And he is loving, and he created us. If I can start at the beginning, I can talk about, we can see at least pictures of what it was in the beginning, that it was about this relationship, that Adam and Eve got to walk with God. They were in his presence, and everything was good, but there was a problem. It's important that people know that there's a problem, because unless I realize there's a problem, I will not see the need for a Savior. And so it's important that we help people to see, even though it's kind of hard to mention, we must help people to see that there's a problem, and that problem is sin. They have done things against God. Because once they realize that they've done things against God and that there is a wrath that they deserve, now I can share with them where hope is found, right? But if I just share that, hey, you need this, then they'll almost be offended. Well, why would you think that I need that? Why would you think that I need Jesus? I'm not a horrible person. And I'm not saying our job is to help them to see that they're a horrible person, but I'm just saying we must at least talk about the fact that all of us, myself included, we can do that with humility and with love, but we must help them to see that there's a problem. Because in identifying that there's a problem, then Jesus and the hope that is found in Jesus, we have a God who loves us. And he showed us this love by sending Jesus to come. He loved us so much, he came to us, and he died upon the cross. And so the wages of sin is death, but there is a gift from God that is eternal life. That God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died. He was our substitute upon the cross. And there's a decision we must make now. And that decision is whether or not we're going to trust in Jesus. And so that's a method that maybe you can use. I like using things that make sure that I share on all sides of the gospel. Another message that or method that you may have seen before, maybe you haven't, is the three circles. Now, with the three circles, I'll give you an image here. And the three circles, you'll see that it's just that. They're literally three circles. Talking about God's design in the beginning, you have Adam and Eve, and that it was meant for us to have a relationship with God. But there was a problem, right? Sin, and it's brought us to brokenness. Some methods you'll see here in just a minute, I'm going to show a video, they actually start with brokenness because that's really easy to see. We can see how broken our world is or even how broken our own lives are. And so it's easy to point to in all of the ways that we try to get out of that brokenness. And so God didn't leave us in that brokenness, but he sent Jesus down to the earth to die upon the cross and rose from the dead. And if we turn from our sin and believe in Jesus and make him the Lord of our lives, that he is king and boss, that would follow him, that we would be restored back to the relationship with God, we'd become a new creation. As we just read, the old is gone, the new has come. And so, man, I love this. I want you to watch this video. It's just about a little over 3 minutes, but I want to point to a couple of things. You're going to see a couple of young kids in this video. Sometimes we cast the kids to the side or put them in their own study. And I want to tell you that anybody, regardless of age or stage in life, that has the Holy Spirit of God, we have all been entrusted with a message. Amen? And we have a ministry. And I want you to see, even in this video, as they go to the streets to share with people, that kids, with gentleness, with love and affection, share the gospel. Watch this video.
Did you do the three circles before?
Have you heard of
the three circles before?
Has anyone ever shared
the three circles with you
before?
No.
No. So this is the first circle. So this represents the world that's broken.
All of us live in a broken world.
You only have to turn on the news and see
suffering, death,
war, sickness,
rape, disease. It's everywhere, right?
But you know, God didn't actually create the world to be like this, full of brokenness, eh? Here's the second circle.
This circle represents God's perfect design.
God's perfect design was a world without brokenness.
A world full of love.
Full of joy. And peace and unity.
But what we did was, we sinned.
Sin could be anything from lying to murder.
Wait, so like, just like normal lying or like hard lying?
And what sin did, it separated us from God's perfect design and threw us into brokenness.
And so people try all kinds of different things to get out of brokenness. You might try drugs or alcohol.
Or maybe chasing a career or money.
Smoking.
Even bullying other people at school.
Sleeping around, suicide, exactly, a good example. But it doesn't actually fix the problem of brokenness.
It's like a bungee cord. We just get snapped straight back into brokenness.
And ultimately, if people die in that state of brokenness and separate from God, and that means that that's eternal separation from God.
Do you know what this place is often called? Yes.
So what God did was, he didn't want to leave us in that place.
God loved us so much that he sent
his son Jesus to die on the cross.
Jesus was God, so he had no sin. And when he died and rose again, he actually took on all of our sin and cancelled it, like he crushed it.
He said if we would turn away from our sin and believe in Jesus and make Jesus
the Lord of our life, we become restored
back into God's original design.
And you become a new creation, a new person in Christ.
And will restore us back into relationship with him. So there's only two kinds of people in this world, people that are in brokenness or God's perfect design. Where would you see yourself?
Probably right there, to be honest.
This circle.
I'm not sure.
Love?
Brokenness?
Possibly love.
The bungee stage.
Yeah, the same.
And where would you like to
be? So where would you like to be? You'd like to be here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right there. Yes. Can you start circle?
One of God.
So here? So is there anything that's stopping you
from turning and believing in Jesus?
And allow him to be Lord and King of your life?
Stubbornness?
Probably not.
Probably we, to be honest.
Nothing's stopping me. Addiction is
gone. You know the awesome news about Jesus? He is the only way out.
If you try to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus, it's like trying to get clean before you take a shower.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get that.
Is there anything stopping you?
No.
We shared the three circles with 34 people. Four were already believers. 13 chose to remain in brokenness, but some were deeply impacted. And 17 wanted to leave brokenness and receive Christ. There are many powerful ways to share the gospel, and the three circles is a great place to start.
You know, one of the things that you saw is each conversation was gentle, it's respectful, even laughing. But then you could see the brokenness. Which circle are you in? It brought a place of examination. I see that I'm in brokenness, but I don't want to be. I don't want to be in brokenness. Well, there's good news then. There's good news, and it's because we have a God who loves us, and he didn't want to leave us in brokenness, so he sent Jesus. This is why we must have conversations. This is why he's entrusted us, is because it's about a conversation. We love people. We show that love. We respect and we honor and we have gentleness, and we help them to see there is good news. Listen. There is good news. There is a way. There's a way you can be forgiven. There's a way you can know him and have a relationship with him, have joy and have a purpose. And so what are we going to do? The Romans road is a great way. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God demonstrated his love for us. This is Romans 5:8. Demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ right now. Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So whatever it is, the message is the truth about Jesus. We must share. We must help people to see because it's good news. This message is not bad news. It's good news. And so he's entrusted it to us. And so in the way of application, how will you prepare your life? Will you abide in Christ? Will you plan and protect time to spend with God daily? Will you allow him to live in you and through you so that he, Jesus, the life of Jesus, the love, the gentleness, the respect, his truth will be lived out through you each day? Will you pray for someone who needs to hear the good news? Will you pray for a neighbor or for a family member or maybe it's a spouse? I don't know. Would you pray? Would you be willing to bring them before the Lord and pray and lift them up and to say, God, will you speak to their heart? Will you commit to learning how to share the gospel? I already told you, you know enough, but maybe it's that, hey, I'll commit to try to learn this one hope, that there is one God, but there's a problem, and the problem is sin, but there's hope. He sent Jesus, but there's a decision. Or maybe you'll learn the three circles. You'll sit down and draw it out a couple of times and practice it so that you could, with a waitress, you could sit down and draw it out, or a family member. Just recently, one of my girls sit down and with a family member in our family, a real close family, sit down and says, hey, can I share with you the three circles? And she began just to draw and went through the whole thing. And which circle are you in? And they pointed at brokenness. All I'm saying is all of us can do this. It requires us to sit down to be prepared. What can you do to build relationship with the lost? Some of us, if we're honest, we just don't know. We're not around lost people very much. Enough to have a real conversation. Maybe you would take the interest that you already have and involve yourself in something in our community that gets you around others, that you get to know them. Invite a neighbor over into your home. Get to know them, love them, share with them about good news. The thing is that we have a ministry. You have a ministry. And this ministry has been entrusted with you, not by your pastor. It's been entrusted to you by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, the honor that he would entrust me with this message. I better know it. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much. I pray, Father, as our mission is to connect people to Jesus, that we would learn to do that and to do that well. I pray, Father, that we would be willing to have conversations with people, knowing that it is good news that we are sharing. Lord, help us to brag upon how good you are and the things that you have done in our lives. Help us to share the truth about you coming and dying and raising from the dead. Lord, I pray that even this morning, as the three circles were shared, if there's someone here and they would put themselves in brokenness, they haven't yet trusted in you and what you have done, I pray that today they would make public their decision. Lord, others who maybe have given their lives to you recently but have not followed you in baptism, Lord, I pray that today they would set up a time to say, hey, I want to follow, I want to make public this decision. So God, I want to thank you for being at work. I want to thank you for speaking to our hearts, for helping us to be a part of your story. Help us to be ready to share it. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.